Glad that you're here. Our regular study has been on the grape in the scripture. But tonight, ending up the year and looking towards this new year, I thought I'd be, was led of the Lord to preach another message. I'd made a mention of something Sunday afternoon in our Sunday afternoon service and about the blessings of the Lord upon us as his children. And so let's take a look at this tonight, the manner of spirit we are of, the manner of spirit we are of. Let's first start in 1 Kings. In 1 Kings, and I couldn't help but think of Sister Elsie when as I was preparing for the message. She'll be proud because we're going to go from one end of the Bible to the other. And Brother Jim, I thought you were going to use the whole Bible. Well, tonight it's going to be nearly the case, so we can send her that report. Here in 1 Kings 18, we see Elijah in the days of Ahab and Jezebel. And I trust that you're familiar with the account. And, you know, this is one of the things. Listen, because this is what's in the scripture here is right. It's of the Lord. It's the working of God through his prophet in this day. Elijah has been to where Ahab can't find him. He meets Obadiah and he tells Obadiah, you go send a message to Elijah. Obadiah says, if I go tell him, then you're going to disappear, and there I'm going to be left holding the bags. And no, I'm going to show myself to him. He says, call all the priests to Baal. We're going to have a showdown. We're going to have a showdown here to know that Israel may know who is God. And so 450 priests of Baal are called. And they're gathered there together to offer a sacrifice. Let's offer a sacrifice. You offer a sacrifice to Baal. I'll offer a sacrifice to God. And whoever is God will take up the sacrifice. Well, you know the account. Those 450 priests, they resorted to all kinds of things, wicked things, even abusing of themselves. Nothing happened. All that happened was is their altar, sacrifice, all that was all tore down. And nothing happened. Oh, Brother Elijah there, towards the afternoon and evening, he goes to work. He builds an altar and with those stones in the name of the Lord. He digs a trench about it. He orders the sacrifice on it and it's way. And in this trench, he says in this chapter, in verse number 34, verse 33, and he put the wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, laid him in on the wood, fill four barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice. Verse 34, do it again. Verse 34, do it the third time. The trench around it filled up with water. And then the brother prays. It's the time of the evening sacrifice. He prays unto God, and what happens? The Lord sends down the fire. The sacrifice is gone. The wood is gone. The stones are licked up. The water in the trench is licked up, and it's all gone. Even the dust of the ground in that area. And then in this account, what happens? Brother Elijah says to the Israelites, and they declare, well, we know who's God now. And the Lord, he is God because he's taken this sacrifice by fire. And we know and are reminded that he is God. He says, gather up those 450 priests of Baal. And it says there in verse 40 at the end that Brother Elijah slew them at the brook Kishon. Can you imagine yourself being in those shoes? I'm glad that we're not. It's a blessing that we're not. And the thing is that was right for that day. That was of the Lord. And hard for us to comprehend that. But these 450, along with Jezebel and Ahab, were indeed a detriment to the nation. They were a detriment to the nation. And the Lord brought judgment through his man and to them. Not a thing wrong with that. Gruesome, but not a thing wrong with it. We need to hear what the Lord says in his word. And then Ahab, he tries to hide the Lord. He thinks he's going to outsmart the Lord. The Lord sends another prophet to bring word about things. And he's confederate with Jehoshaphat in this battle. And Ahab dies. Chapter 1 of 2 Kings. Chapter 1 of 2 Kings and the first chapter here. We see that Ahaziah in the previous book becomes king in the stead of his father, and he has some problems. It says there in chapter 1 that he falls down through the lattice at his house there in the palace where he was at. And he sends inquiry to Beelzebub. He wants to find out if he's going to get better or not. And the angel of the Lord talks to Elijah and says, you go over there and you said, why are you inquiring of Baal? Is there not a God in Israel to inquire of? And he goes on and he tells him in verse number 4, now therefore thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shall surely die. And Elijah departed. So he catches those messengers and said, here's the message. You don't need a message from the priests and prophets of Baal. Here's the message of the Lord. Brother Elijah then goes on and he they carry this word. Ahaziah knows that it's Elijah. The messengers describe him unto him in verse number 8. He said, it's Elijah the Tishbite. They all hate him. Ahab hated him. His son hates him. And then it says in verse number 9, then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up from him, and behold, he sat on top of a hill. And he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came fire down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Well, verse number 11, and again also he, the king, sent unto him, Elijah, another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. That's 102. It's a gruesome day, isn't it? But it's the judgment of God. And the Lord's using his man to accomplish it. There's nothing out of the way here other than the rebellion of the nation of Israel. And the Lord dealing with this rebellion, it's certainly a gruesome thing. But it's of the Lord. Verse number 13. And he sent the king, again, a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of the 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. This man is humble. He doesn't have the attitude of his king. He has the attitude of humility. And behold, he says, be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burnt up the two captains in the form of 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. So where'd the fire come from? Down from heaven. Whose fire was it? The fire of the Lord. Who is Elijah? He's God's man. And he's being used of the Lord to mete out this justice and judgment, a statement unto the divided kingdom in the north, Israel. Luke chapter 9. Need to get that background so we have understanding about what takes place here in Luke chapter 9. We'll pick it up in verse number 49. Luke 9, verse number 49. There's a reasoning amongst the disciples who's going to be top dog. And it's not the first time that happens with them. And the Lord took a child and set him in the midst and says, verse number 48, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. He's also told him in other places in the Gospels that we need to be his children in humility and trust and faith. And our eyes are just like the song that Brother Stephen led us in. We need to be focused and single upon our Lord and not about being top dog. If we're going to be greatest in the kingdom, we need to be the servant of others. And as our Lord is the Savior of men. Then we have this in verse 49. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. I think something we would do well to understand and know also, if somebody's not against us, they're on the same part. We don't need to go looking for enemies. We don't need to, that's not the business that we've been given, is go look for enemies. If somebody's against us, it'll be made plain, and then what are we told to do? Pray for them. But John said, he's casting out devils, but he doesn't company with us. We told him, shut that down, shut that stuff down. Jesus said, don't tell him to stop anything. Because he that is not against us is for us. Verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. So there's something about the Lord, his manner, the schedule that they kept, that it's known that he's going to Jerusalem. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. This is a place, if my memory serves me right, they're in Samaria. They're going through Samaria. And so in that attitude, the Samaritans are expendable to the Jews. That's the thinking in that day. So his face is set toward Jerusalem, enters into the village of Samaritans. Okay, that's what I missed. To make ready for him. So he sends his messengers before his face, verse 52. They did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. 54. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, you know, they have modern day natural contempt for the Samaritans. Now, that's already been proven in the scriptures. Lord, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elias did? Or Elijah, like we read there at the end of Kings and 1 Kings and the beginning of 2 Kings. How about we do that, Lord? Let's just scorch them. Let's make this village go up in a puff of smoke. How about that? I mean, they are jealous for the Lord. No doubt they are angry. They want to be Elijah's. They want to be Elijah's. They want to be used this way to just take these people and obliterate them. Make them like the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the water. Because that's their reference. They knew the account that we read. But he turned. You know, and when Jesus turns, when the Lord Jesus turns, it gives the indication that maybe they're behind him. This village was offended that Jesus wasn't going to stay around. It's thought maybe by some scholars that maybe there was some kind of celebration or some kind of feast, and they would expect Jesus to stay there, but he's heading to Jerusalem. Whenever they come to know that, they were put out by him. James and John says, let's just scorch him. And he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. They didn't know what manner of spirit they were of. And you know what? This time is the same time that you and I live in today. Verse number 56, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives. He hasn't come to scorch them, to burn them, to make them go up in smoke by fire coming down from heaven. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. The manner of spirit we are of. We do well to understand that. We can be tempted to want to live in Old Testament times. Pastors are subject and tempted to be like the prophets of old and want to call down fire from heaven to do things. That's not the spirit we are of. Does it make what Brother Elijah did wrong? No. That's what he did and what was commanded and ordered of the Lord for that day. But we live in a day of our Savior coming. We live in this church age. We live in this time of the Gentiles. We live in a time of the the full counsel of God, the whole counsel of God being revealed unto us. We live in a day and in a time where the Lord, our Savior, says, be like me. Be like me. You know not what manner of spirit you're of. So we need to know, what's the manner of the spirit given unto us? I'm going to rely on your recollection of the scriptures here. A passage classic to this and very most connected to this is 2 Peter chapter 1. We have some things that we are commanded of God to take notice and add to our faith. We are to add and give all diligence, Brother Peter writes, our Lord tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, self-control, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, brother, kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, love with legs on it. That's what we're told to add to our faith. We've been saved. We have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And did you hear anything missing there? It'll become evident as we go along. What about Galatians chapter 5, where it tells us in that chapter about the fruit of the works of the flesh, but it tells us also about the fruits of the Spirit. And it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, Galatians 5:22, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Some of these we are to add to faith, and then they turn around are to be exhibited in us. They're to shine forth in us. That's the instruction that we've been given from our Lord and His Word about what we're to add and what we're to exhibit. We're to give diligence to it. We got to think about it. We got to pray to our Lord to help us with it. We've got to be conscious of it. We've got to take this old flesh and take it and take it and put it down, because it wants to do all those works of the flesh. And you and I, we are called of our Lord to manifest these things. Okay? It's by these, with this manner of the Spirit given unto us, that our Lord commands us to do these kind of things. Impossible things for the flesh. Impossible things for the old man. Matthew 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. But you know what? We're naturally not peacemakers. The natural man would rather stir and make a tumult than to make peace. The Lord goes on and tells us in that same chapter of Matthew chapter 5, verse number 43, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That's what you've heard in the past. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Is there any man in the flesh can do that? Love his enemy? Nope. No, it's just natural to hate enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Really? Pray for them which despitefully use you. How can we accomplish that? Only by the Spirit of God living within us. And persecute you. Verse 45 of Matthew 5, that ye may be the children of your Father, that it might be manifest that we're God's children, that we're our Lord's children, that the Lord Jesus has saved us to do the things that are not common, to do the things that are not natural for us, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. That's just normal course and operation for our Lord. And we need to line up to that as his children. We need to represent him and how he does. Wouldn't be able to do that if it were not for the Spirit that lives within us, because naturally we just can't. What about what it says in Luke chapter 6? Love your enemies. Who wants to step up and love an enemy? I mean, love them. Do good for them. He says, love your enemies and do good. Luke 6:35. And lend. hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. It'll be known that we are different, that we are not from this world. We are our Lord's, for He's kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Having been saved, He certainly has been kind to us, hadn't He? He has. He has. Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22. Peter's working on it. He's trying to get it figured out and get a handle on it. And Peter came to Him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Seven ought to be a good number, shouldn't it? Seven ought to get that seven is a number of completeness. Seven times in a day, what would that end up being? About every three and some change hours. If you're on a 24-hour time, if you're up for about 16 hours or so, seven would go into that, every couple hours or so, something like that. Okay. "Jesus saith unto him, I say not to thee until seven times, Peter, but until 70 times seven." You know what that means? In a 24 day, that's less than every 3 minutes. On a 16-hour day, that's less than every 2 minutes to be willing to forgive. So it's by this fruit of the Spirit, this manner of the Spirit given unto us, that we are called to do the impossible. But we can, because that's the blessing of the Lord upon us. He commands His churches things along this line too. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2, He tells us to bear one another's burden. Well, my burden's heavy enough. I don't want to load up with anybody else's burden. Well, with the fruit of the Spirit and the manifestation, the manner of the Spirit that we are of, we are to bear one another's burdens too, aren't we? In doing so, we fulfill the law of Christ. It goes on to say in verse number 5 that we indeed should bear our own burden. But as the children of the Lord, we're to bear one another's burden and burdens. And this is given unto the churches of Galatia. And certainly it's applicable to you and me. Our Lord Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 9, "Come after me, deny self, take up your cross daily and follow me." How can I do that? Life is hard. There's a lot to do in life. Well, with the manner of the Spirit that we are of, we are made to where we can. We are made and empowered to where we can do these impossible things. In Galatians 6, He says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." To brothers and sisters in Christ and in the church that we're together, or sister churches. In Hebrews 10, the Scripture tells us that we're to consider one another, to provoke unto love and unto good works. Not just live to self, but to live to be a help and a blessing one to another. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 13 through 15, "Be not weary in well-doing." Don't get tired in doing well-doing. In pursuing well-doing. "And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed, yet not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." Even the discipline and the things that become necessary in a church sometimes, they are not to be shunning, but to a gaining back. As the Lord told the first church there in Matthew 18, 17, "If he shall neglect to hear them," speaking that them is the church, "tell it to the witnesses, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." And we all know that the heathen, the unbelievers and the publicans, we push away and hold away with a stiff arm and strong arm, never to allow them to get close to us, right? No, we're to be a witness of Christ unto them. Always for reconciliation. "In God's stead, be ye reconciled unto God." That's not something that my old man wants to do. But by the manner of the Spirit that's given unto us, we can. We can. We're told to go and preach the gospel to every creature, aren't we? even those that are wayward from the church and even showing themselves not saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. There's no greater wealth than spiritual wealth. Amen. The salvation of the soul. And then in 1 Peter chapter 3, the Lord has equipped us and given this manner of the Spirit that we are of to do the impossible in this life and in this world. And Brother Peter, he summarizes it very well here in 1 Peter chapter 3. Finally, verse number 8, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing. You get a evil thrown at you, bless. You get a railing thrown at you, bless. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, verse 10, let him refrain his tongue from evil. And James tells us about the tongue. Lord, help with the tongue and his lips that they speak no guile, no deceit. Verse 11 of 1 Peter 3, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Listen to this, verse 13, 1 Peter 3:13. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? We'd say, well, it just puts me in a compromising place to love my enemy. To do good to those that mistreat me and abuse me, that just compromises me even more. But the Lord says, if we follow him and obey him, be like he is, nobody can touch us. Oh, they may physically touch us, but they can't touch us in our stand and our work in and for the Lord. In Luke 9, where we started, and he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. This is our work. This is our Lord's continuing work, isn't it? To save men's lives, or to save any aspect of their lives. That's what we're called into. Not to be destroyers, but to be those that would want to see them gain good spiritual ground in things, whatever it be, or even to the saving of aspects of their lives. We're still in the same time of our Lord's work in this way. Remember what it says in Mark chapter 16, verse 20? And they, that first church, went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. This is his work. And we as his children, if we'll understand and know, pursue, give diligence to add, and give diligence to manifest, not feigning these things, but they be a part of us and part of our life and our conversation. What's our conversation? What we think, what we say, and what we do. We'll be known as the Lord's children. And we will have his blessing upon us in this work. As it says in 1 Corinthians 3:9, we are laborers together with God. And this is how the Lord has chosen to equip us and to help us. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. Again, he's not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. So this is the manner of the Spirit that we are of. Okay? But there's something that we need to know. We need to know something else regarding our Lord. Our Lord Jesus became a man. He became a man, and we know that, we believe that, we know it's so. We have a hard time grasping that sometimes. He's a man now. He'll be a man forevermore. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, having become a man, identifying with us, with mankind through his mother Mary, but not having the same father, Adam, like we have, but his father is God Almighty. we need to understand about our Lord Jesus and a delineation, a dividing regarding the Spirit of God that has not been given to us. And the blessing of that, the thing that our Lord holds. I like us to consider here at this time of the aspects of the Holy Spirit of God not given to us. Brother Jim, we've got all the Spirit of God. Well, we've got all the Spirit of God we need. But we don't have all of the Spirit of God because some of that is not given unto us. Let's take a look here quickly at what that is. We're not slighted by our Lord in this, but there is an aspect of our Lord's love and care for us, having truly been made His children and adopted into His family, that we need to consider. We've been given every bit of the Spirit we need for salvation, our Lord's call to His work and His churches, but have not been given all the Spirit that He is in His person and work, speaking of Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, the Scripture says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." So our Lord Jesus is a man. As God, He can go and fellowship with God. No issue, no problems. He never has to make an appointment. But as man, He can come over here and fellowship and deal with us too, can't He? He gets it. He understands all the ins and outs about being God. He understands all the ins and outs about being man without having sin. Okay? So, we know, and John declares it in John chapter 1, verse 14, that the Word was made flesh. He became a man, did He not? And then John chapter 3, I want you to see this for yourself. If you have your Bible, turn here and look at this. And I know I'm going through this quickly. But let's read here. Let's read what Brother John writes about our Lord. Verse 30. "He must increase, Jesus must increase, but I must decrease," John the Baptist declares. "He that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all, and what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true, the believing Christ. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, hath given all things into his hand." What does it say? All? Not most, not some, not the majority, but all. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So the verse number 34 tells it to us, God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. As a man, the Lord subjected himself to being conceived, growing in the womb, being delivered of his mother, being a baby that needed to be nursed and changed and all that. He submitted himself to all that. He submitted himself to the natural process of growing up and going from a baby to a toddler to a boy to a young man to a man. He submitted himself to all those things. He submitted himself to growing in grace and stature and favor with God and men. He submitted himself to that. And God gave him as a man, his son, all the Spirit of God. Brother Jim, how in the world can we know that? Well, the Scripture tells us. The Scriptures, and we will see it. We see it in Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11 is the majority of it. It says in verse number 2 of Isaiah 11, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him," that is the Lord Jesus, "the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord." He'll have it all. "And shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes." We see here that he's judge. "Neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. We know also this about the Holy Spirit work of the Comforter in the churches, so much that John 14 and 15 and 16 tell us about that, about this one, this aspect of the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And Jesus says, I will send him. He will tell you and remind you about me. He will not speak of himself, but he'll speak of me. The Lord Jesus is the director of that Holy Spirit work of the Comforter. And he tells in chapter 16, verse 8, about the reproving work that the Holy Spirit will do through his churches. And that's part of what we do, is reproving the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. In Revelation, chapter 1, chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5, we see over and over how the Lord Jesus, revealing himself to Brother John, Revelation 1, verse 4, the seven spirits of God are before his throne. Revelation chapter 3, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God. Revelation chapter 4, he said there's seven lamps burning before the throne. They are the seven spirits of God. And who sits on the throne? Our Lord Jesus. Revelation 5, verse 6, he says, our brother says that he saw a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. The Father doesn't give the Spirit by measure unto the Lord Jesus. He's got all of the Spirit of God. And as we read there in Isaiah, as we full well know about what Revelation speaks about, we see that the Lord has judgment in his hand. We see indeed the Holy Spirit is not given by measure to the Lord Jesus, to the man, our Lord Jesus Christ, but the Spirit of God is given to him totally and completely. But understand, the Spirit given to us is by measure. It is. You know, remember those things I read to you quickly in 2 Peter chapter 1. Did you hear anything in there about judgment? Hear anything in there along the things that even we saw Brother Elijah involved with? No, those things aren't given to us, are they? We are given a more peaceable day in the thing given unto us. You know, wouldn't it be something if our churches were actually fortresses and strongholds where we would gather together weapons of warfare to go out and fight? That would be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? But if the Lord gave us that, that's what we would do. But we've not been given that. We've actually, I think we've been given something better. Amen. Certainly something more peaceable. And the goodness of our Lord. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that the Lord gives, but all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. To us, he divides. To the Lord Jesus, without measure. What I want us to do quickly is let's consider quickly about that which our Lord has and you and I do not. What do you think about anger? Psalm 7:11, the scripture says, God judgeth the righteous and is angry with the wicked every day. That's what the scripture says. In Ezekiel, the Lord says he will accomplish his anger on the nation of Israel and on the enemies of Israel indeed. He says he will accomplish his anger on them in the wilderness. 40 years they sojourned that first generation would die off. The Lord was angry with them. You know what the Lord commands us? The command of our Lord. Is the Lord wrong in his anger ever? No, it's righteous. It's righteous and holy. He's the one that can do it right and well. But you know what the Lord commands us about anger? Proverbs 22, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. That's what he tells us. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. The Lord is angry, but you and I, we're not given to be angry. Proverbs 29, 22, an angry man stirreth up strife. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 26, our Lord tells us there, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't give place to the devil. But then later in that chapter in Ephesians chapter 4, our Lord tells us in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. We're not to be. We are disappointed and we are frustrated by things, but we do well just to lay anger aside. But our Lord, He's angry. Our Lord Jesus is angry and He will judge. But you know what? We're not given the spirit of anger, are we? Our Lord has been given it and He will do it well. What if we go on to anger with legs on it, wrath? What was it that the Lord told Moses in Exodus chapter 32, verse number 10, regarding that first generation? Now, therefore, let me alone that my wrath may wax hot against them and that I may consume them and I will make of thee a great nation. Speaking to Brother Moses. Was the Lord unjust in thinking that? Was the long war? Did the Lord have it just? Did he just have it wrong? Mm-mm. He's got the wrath to wax hot, doesn't he? And it'll be just and right. Brother Moses interceded. Isaiah 13:13. Therefore, I will shake the heavens and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger regarding the judgment of Babylon. He's wrathful. He's going to be wrathful. Brother John the Baptist preached it, didn't he? When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism in Matthew 3:7, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And it wasn't John the Baptist being wrathful. It was the Lord being wrathful. He said, you need to flee the wrath to come. But what's the Lord tell us about wrath? Well, we read it earlier in Ephesians 4. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Ephesians 4:26. But then in Ephesians 4:31, he said to put it away. Don't even go there. Don't even go there. Wrath, anger and wrath, you know, anger, wrath is like anger with legs on it. It's action. Sunday afternoon, I spoke about fury. Have you ever seen anybody furious? It's ugly, isn't it? It's not good for us to be furious. We just don't even need to go there. The Lord says this in Isaiah 34, verse 2, for the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations and his fury upon all their armies. Isaiah 63, verse number 3, I've trodden the winepress alone, speaking of Christ, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury. The Lord, and this is speaking about a future time. This is not something that is past. He says here in that same chapter in verse number 5, and I looked and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, my own arm brought salvation to me, and my fury it upheld me. Yet he commands to us, don't go with a furious man. You learn bad ways going with a furious man, because it's not given to us to be furious. In Proverbs 29, verse 22, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Fury is just not given to us. And the Lord Jesus, does the Lord Jesus, the man Christ Jesus, do anything apart from the Spirit of God? Never. But it's just not given to us. What about vengeance? Oh, the Lord speaks much about the day of vengeance and recompense belonging to him. He will repay, Isaiah 59:18, recompense to his enemies. In Nahum chapter 1, verse 2, the God is jealous and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious and will take vengeance on his adversaries. And this is speaking of a future time. He will do it. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 30, for we know him that said, vengeance belongeth to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. Yet he commands us and shows us in the scripture, in Revelation chapter 6, verse number 10, the saints that are there under the altar of the Lord, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Because vengeance belongs to him. Romans 12, verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And the Lord Jesus himself tells us in Luke 18, he reminds us, and shall not God avenge his own elect? He sure will. And he'll do it right on time. But what about you and I with vengeance? We're to leave vengeance alone, aren't we? Because you know why? Anger, wrath, fury, vengeance. We can't ever get them right. We don't have the spirit to get them right. We leave all that to our Lord. He has the spirit to get it right. We need to trust him. As the children of our Lord, we've been given a wonderful blessing of peace, haven't we? Our Lord Jesus is not one that takes pleasure in the judgment of the wicked. He does not. As it says in Ezekiel 18:32, he says, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. If you're here and you're not saved, you need to turn from yourself and from your sin and to the Lord. You need him. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. In Ezekiel 33:11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? Our Lord is never mean and cruel. Those are not attributes or characteristics of our Lord. He is not so. Satan and fallen men are mean and cruel. But our Lord is just, righteous, and holy. And these demand his vengeance upon sinners and their transgressions. So we see the good fight of faith is not a vengeful one, is it? It's not attack and counterattack, is it? The good fight of faith is in the measure of the Spirit given unto us. And all of those things, all of those aspects of the Spirit given to you and me are pleasant, are peaceful. It's by that measure of the Spirit given to us. That's what we've been assigned. No judgment, no sentencing part. There's two aspects of judgment, and you or I are never to sentence anyone. No judgment here or vengeance ever. And regarding anger, wrath, fury, damnation, and vengeance, it's like our Lord in regards to those things. It's like our Father. He steps in front of his children. This is what I told you Sunday. And he says, I'll take care of these. I'll take care of anger and wrath and fury and vengeance and judgment. Children, I have saved you. I will take care of these things. And so we need to know that. Seeking vengeance for ourselves or others is never ours to pursue. We're to pursue and to live in all the pleasant and peaceful characteristics he has measured to us. And warn folks of the unpleasant and the unpeaceful characteristics and aspects of God that he will administer righteously and justly. Because sinner, he is angry with the wicked every day. And he will mete out vengeance and justice and judgment one day. But until then, hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus. This same one that is the judge, this same one that has not the Spirit of God given to him by measure, but he has all the Spirit of God, even of these things of anger and fury and wrath and vengeance. He says, come unto me and I will give you rest. He's the Savior. But one day he will do these things. Remember our work now. Remember what we read there in 1 Peter 3:13? And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? We can't be touched. We can't be touched eternally, although we might be touched physically. But if we are obedient to our Lord and the measure of the manner of the Spirit given unto us, we will be blessed. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. That's our work, is to save. Not that we're the Savior, but to seek the salvation of souls, to seek the salvation of different aspects of people's lives, our brothers and sisters, parts of their lives. That's the measure of the manner of the Spirit that we are of. May the Lord help us in this new year that we know that we pursue that we remember that. The things that are our Lord's, leave them to Him. And the things that are ours, let us diligently pursue them. Amen.